Before the show starts, I'd just like to apologize for the sound quality. And I was using a different microphone and it seemed to pick up everything, and it wasn't a good quality microphone. Hopefully, it won't spoil your enjoyment or, well, your tolerance of the show. So enjoy it. Hello and welcome to Mark's Mess vs. the Evolutionary War, the 12-issue limited podcast. In each episode, I'm looking at one of the Marvel 1988 annuals with the banner of the Evolutionary War. I will examine both the main story and the backup, and in the 12th and final podcast, I will talk about the high evolutionary story which runs at the end of nearly all the annuals. This episode is episode 5, Fantastic Four Annual 21 from 1988. But before we delve into that issue, I have got an email to mymarksmess@gmail.com. Dear Mark's Mess, why is there such a delay between episodes? It cannot be to ensure the quality of the podcast. Yours, Marla Drake. Thank you, Marla, for that email. The reason there's a delay is because my life gets in the way. I'm a youth worker, which is a huge job. Also, I have a family, I've got other commitments that I have, and this is basically a hobby. I'm just learning how to do this as I go along, as I've mentioned before. But thank you very much for your kind email, Marla, and hopefully you enjoy this episode. Fantastic Four Annual 21. And when we look at the cover, guest starring the Inhumans. I've noticed over these podcasts that the editors are trying to push in some of the lost civilizations of the Marvel Universe. In X-Factor we had the Subterraneans, the Silver Surfer, there were the Eternals, the New Mutants, there was Nova Roma, which is something lost in time at the moment. And here in the Fantastic Four we have the Inhumans. But far from being some sort of an add-on to the story, the Inhumans are really a huge part of the Fantastic Four history. Anyway, back to the cover. On the surface of the moon, Crystal in crisis. In the right-hand side of the page, you have the Human Torch, the Thing, Miss Marvel, and on the right-hand side of the page, you have Black Bolt holding back Crystal from going to the Fantastic Four with some of the other Inhumans. Let's delve in and see what happens. A story by Steve Englehart, breakdowns by Kieran Dwyer, and finishes by Joe Sinnott. Steve Englehart's been a long-time Marvel writer, and he also has done a lot for DC as well. He had a long run in Avengers, he also wrote Defenders and did the first Marvel true Marvel crossover story over the Avengers-Defenders War. He and Joe Sinnott were the current writer and artist team of the Fantastic Four. Joe Sinnott had long runs in Avengers, Captain America, and a very long run in Fantastic Four. Kieran Dwyer, who did Breakdowns at this time, was doing Captain America. Stan Lee presents Crystal Blue Persuasion, and this happens between Fantastic Four issue 317 and 318. Thing and Miss Marvel, who are very happy, but then Crystal comes walking behind them and not looking very happy, and the Human Torch looks basically confused. The Thing in this isn't the thing you grew up with. This is not the Fantastic Four. Long gone are Mr. Fantastic and Invisible Woman, but they've gone to have a normal life to raise their child, Franklin, leaving the Thing in charge. The Thing and Miss Marvel have just recently changed again, where the Thing has got even more rockier, looking like a pineapple, and Miss Marvel has become a sort of proto-Thing, as the Thing was in Fantastic Four number one. Miss Marvel was a character brought in the Thing's solo series back in the day, where she was a wrestler who went to the power broker to get gain powers, and she was able to battle her way away from the power broker thanks to the Thing. She became quite powerful in strength, and then she turned into this Thing type creature, or sometimes she's known as She-Thing, but she keeps the name Miss Marvel. She was very unhappy with this at the start, but now she realizes that Ben loves her for who she is inside and not for outside. Crystal is one of the Inhumans. She has been a Fantastic Four member before. She is a manipulator of the elements, where she can, you know, weather manipulation and that type of thing. And of course, Human Torch is as Human Torch is, but a slightly different Human Torch. He's now married to Alicia Masters, who used to be the Thing's girlfriend, and that caused tension between the two of those. And he also used to go out with Crystal, his first true love. Will this cause complications? You bet it will. On the next page, we meet Willie Lumpkin, the postman to the heroes. He's been a supporting character in Marvel Comics for quite a while. He was created, I think, by Stan Lee as sort of a newspaper comedy character, and he was brought into Marvel Comics mainstream years later. I knew him when he was dating Aunt May. How about that for strange dating people? Anyway, the robot receptionist, Roberta, they have a conversation with her which helps them recap the adventures they've just had with the Subterraneans, Ballistro and Comet Men. And Ben hates the suggestion that he calls in Reed Richards for help in the latest adventure. So the Fantastic Four then go off and get themselves cleaned up. Ben feels happy that he and Sharon are finally an item. That's Miss Marvel, Sharon Ventura. And where she likes the fact that Ben sees her inner beauty and not just how she looks. And she's having happy, joy feelings. And the both of them are having a bath in separate rooms. This is a family comic book. Let's have that. Meanwhile, Johnny Storm is having a shower and he's thinking about quitting the Fantastic Four after their next adventure to the Negative Zone because of his marriage to Alicia is suffering over the feelings he has for his teammate and ex-girlfriend Crystal. And Crystal, while she's having a shower, bemoans the feelings for Johnny and that keeps getting in the way of their professional relationship. Crystal then spends time with her daughter Luna. Crystal was once married to Quicksilver and they had a child called Luna, and Luna now has a nanny called Maya, who reminds Crystal that her priority is to the child's welfare above all else. And that sounds like something that will come and bite her back later on. The Fantastic Four are about to open up Reed Richards' lab to go to the Negative Zone when an image of Crystal's sister and brother-in-law, Medusa and Black Bolt, King of the Humans, tell Crystal to come home to the moon to be reunited with her estranged husband, Quicksilver. Quicksilver is a mutant speedster who recently went mad, caused a lot of havoc amongst the Marvel community, and he's lost his speed now. Quicksilver has seemingly come out of his madness and he's had over the past few years, but Crystal refuses to go back. So Black Bolt and Medusa come to collect her via Lockjaw, the human's massive teleporting dog, and Gargoyle and a few of the other Inhumans. Crystal refuses, and fighty McFight! On the moon, the High Evolutionary prepares to attack the Inhuman base, Attilan, to collect the Turrigan Mist, the source of the Inhumans' mutations. The Inhumans were not born with their powers, but they, at a certain age, they go into the Turrigan Mist, and they develop powers. Each of them has a different power. Black Bolt himself, his voice can level mountains, which is why he never speaks. Medusa, her hair has got, well, it's sort of a living hair. She can do things with her hair that most women cannot. Anyway, back on the moon, the Watcher, who is an alien who basically he watches humanity and keeps saying, I will not interfere. I am just watching, just looking, not my business, just having a look. I can't interfere. And often he does interfere. Anyway, he and the High Evolutionary do a synopsis of the annuals so far. X-Factor annual, the Punisher annual, the Silver Surfer annual, the New Mutant annual, the Amazing Spider-Man annual. The Amazing Spider-Man annual? Have I missed one? Well, we'll come back to that in a while. The High Evolutionary then grows to the Watcher's size. The Watcher says he just watches, but someone is watching them. The Battle of Attilan is in full swing, with the High Evolutionary's army battling the Inhumans, with success and losses on both sides. Quicksilver is quick to take charge, see what I did there, even if he has lost his power. Back on Earth, the battle with the Fantastic Four rages, and a great way again of showing off the powers, where we have Inhumans leaping and kicking, and we find out that Lockjaw, when he bites the Thing's hand, he will never let go, and the Thing's sort of cross at him and trying to bash him out. The Human Torch helps Ms. Marvel by putting fire around more than Inhumans. Crystal makes the elemental force bring the ground up around her sister, Medusa. Karnak tries to find her weak spot, but Crystal turns around and zaps him with heat. But in doing that, she gets distracted by Medusa's hair, and Karnak strikes. Crystal is now fainting, but Lockjaw is in love with Crystal, and he goes to defend her against all reason, and he will not let anybody near him. Meanwhile, the fight continues on with the other members of Fantastic Four, and eventually they come to a stalemate where they stop. Black Bolt calls a halt just as news of the Battle of the Moon comes. The Fantastic Four agree to help the humans on the moon, and Lockjaw teleports them there and straight into the battle with more Fighty McFight, which is basically a few pages of extreme fighting. And these 9 heroes make the difference in the battle. For the Eliminators, the High Evolutionary's warriors head back to the High Evolutionary and admit their failure. Ben gets annoyed at the Watcher for not helping them or even giving them information. Then another Watcher arrives and is about to help, but is stopped by the first Watcher. The Fantastic Four comment that they've never seen any other Watchers before, and this is new. Then humans celebrate for their win. Black Bolt takes Crystal away to a part of the moon where there is very little air, and he convinces her to stay by speaking one word, stay, which blows her off her feet. But she didn't realize it meant so much to him. Ask him why, and he writes on the earth, family. Crystal decides to stay for the sake of her family. The Fantastic Four react to that, where Johnny is sad, Ben is gobsmacked, and Shari, the Ms. Marvel, is sad about the love story. And that's where we end. That says continued in Fantastic Four 318. Next few pages of the pinup section, the gallery of pictures, where the first one is Benjamin J. Grimm imposing but trying too hard to be the leader. Next page we have Ms. Marvel, who is looking in much too a seductive pose on a pink bed. Yeah, that's a bit worrying. Next is a traditional Johnny Storm, classic flying over the city at night pose. Alicia Storm, her husband, in a swimming costume. Right, that's with the rest of them in the swimming pool in the background. Okay, then we meet for the first time in this annual Mr. Fantastic, and he's doing some gardening at his house. And the next page is an Invisible Woman, and she's showing her living room, which is in classic 80s bad taste. From the dress to the pink tiger throw on the settee? I don't know, and some huge salt shakers on the table. It's a bit weird, and plants all around. Good grief, I never realised there were so many plants in that house. Tripid tail. Then we have Tattletale, which is Franklin Richards. And he says something, he writes himself on this. Hi fans, I know you didn't really mean to hurt my mum. I've got no idea what that's about. But anyway, he's using his mind powers, no idea, to lift a toy airplane in the air. And he's got a guitar. I don't know what age he's meant to be. Franklin Richards is one of those characters that changes age depending on where you want him. I have no idea what age he's meant to be now, but he was born, I don't know what, in the 70s? And this is the late 80s, and he's still a wee child. Marvel time is very wibbly-wobbly, timey-wimey stuff. So, who knows. Next two pages are Doctor Doom. Two Doctor Dooms. The first one is a classic imposing image of Dr. Doom where it says, caught by an amateur photographer who later swore off cameras forever. And then the following page, it's a less intimidating Dr. Doom playing in a chess set. He looks younger, if you can look younger wearing armor. Fools may fear the madman of my body, but the wise men will soon recognize, as the West Coast Avengers already have, that my mind lives on in Latveria, and I am the true Dr. Doom. So we've got two different Dr. Dooms. And the last one is Crystal. And just sitting in the chair, waving, saying she's so glad to be part of the Fantastic Four. Ain't that wonderful? The backup story of this issue is concentrates on Crystal after the Fantastic Four have left. The story is by Edmund J. Norton. Breakdowns by Jackson Guise, something like that. And finishes by Jose Marzan. Edmund J. Norton was a telecoms inventor who died in the early 80s. Wait, that can't be him. Edwin J. Norton is a pseudonym for Jim Shooter, longtime Marvel editor, one of the youngest people I've ever heard of to break into comics. He had just left his editorship and probably wanted to keep his name quiet. I don't know the real story behind why he used Edward L. Norton, but Jim Shooter wrote this. Jackson Guise was one of the creators of X-Factor, one of my favorite comic books of that time. He drew the first few books in that, but also more recently something I've read of his is Ultimate Origin, taking the Ultimate Universe back to where it started and how everyone's interconnected in it, and he did the finishes there. Jose Marzan, people will know his name from Why the Last Man and A Long Run in Flash. Okay, page one of this. Crystal and Quicksilver watch a Fantastic Four go while the other men and humans watch on. Crystal has changed her costume for some odd unknown reason into her traditional yellow one out of her Fantastic Four one. Anyway, Quicksilver explains that the way he has been acting lately was due to Maximus the Mad, an inhuman cousin or brother of Black Bolt, using his powers to control him, so he was not responsible for his actions. Lockjaw arrives with Luna, who immediately goes to her dada. Crystal is hesitant of that reunion. Medusa tells Crystal, her sister, to look as if she is happy, or else people will think that she wants to be with another man. Quicksilver feels his powers return and tests them with great results. And a nice couple of panels here of Quicksilver trying to run, tripping, and then back up again, and zoom! He's away. Crystal suggests to Quicksilver that they help the Fantastic Four in their mission to the Negative Zone, but Quicksilver wants to spend quality time with his wife and get their marriage back together. Crystal and Quicksilver have the talk. Crystal does not trust Quicksilver, and more so does not understand why Quicksilver is so quick to take her back, because she had an affair that ended their marriage. She leaves to have some alone time to think about it. Quicksilver then secretly contacts someone with information about the Fantastic Four and where they're going and their up-and-coming mission to find the Beyonders, or the Beyonder. That should terrify a few people. It turns out the person he's contacting is Dr. Doom. Dun dun dun! A really daft picture of Dr. Doom makes him look very cartoony. And don't waste a minute, the Fantastic Four 318 is on sale right now and cranks up to another 3 or 4 notches beyond the pale. Get it before it sells out. Mentioned before that maybe I read these out of order. Maybe I did. The very end of this annual says continued in Amazing Spider-Man Annual 22. But some people put Amazing Spider-Man before this one because the Watcher and the High Evolutionary talk about events in Amazing Spider-Man Annual in it. Well, to be honest, it doesn't really matter that much getting these out of order. And I apologize if this is going to take away from your enjoyment of this comic or this podcast. But hey, I'm lazy. Did I enjoy this annual? I actually enjoyed this annual a lot more than I thought I would. Honestly, this is one of the ones I collected later on when I was collecting the whole Evolutionary War together, where I had a few at the start and built up on it. And I looked at it and thought, this is not the Fantastic Four I know. I'm not a huge collector of the Fantastic Four, but they're like going home, where you know the characters. It hasn't changed that much since Fantastic Four number one. And after all, they were the first Fantastic Four. They were the first Marvel comic of modern era. Did I enjoy it? I loved this. I give it 5 out of 5. Why? Because I read around it. I try, if I've got the issues, I will read around the story in the annuals to see what happens. X Factor? Well, it didn't have any effect on the ongoing story. I don't know about Silver Surfer, but New Mutants didn't have any effect on the ongoing story, apart from getting one character get new strange powers. Punisher, I don't know, never read much outside the Punisher Archie crossover. But this story fits in very well. It continues the monthly story as well. It's the same writer and basically the same art team. And if you want to find out more about that story, you could read round about the 310 of the Fantastic Four onwards. Geek Out Loud. I'll promote one podcast now, another one later. Geek Out Loud, number 46. Big Hunkin' Steve, he talks about this whole storyline and where it starts and where it ends and includes this annual. So as a Fantastic Four book, it was great. As a High Evolutionary story, well, did it do much? High Evolutionary gets beat again. Not much. He didn't get anything he wanted. They had Fighty McFight. No, it didn't do much for the story. But then again, as the way to write it, this is the way to write. This is the way to write an annual. Before these annuals came out, before you had the annuals tended to be quite good single stories, and then after this, they went into, there was another year, which I might cover in another podcast, of every annual being the same banner headline, and then the years following that, you grouped in annuals. You had all the X-Men annuals doing one story, all the Avengers annuals doing another story, all the Spider-Man annuals, the Incredible Shrinking Spidey. Remember, anyone remember that? Hans? No? I don't blame you. It wasn't that good. Anyway, all those tended to go together. So you lost in storytelling because you were trying to do a bigger arc with different writers and different artists. But when you're looking at this one, it's helpful to look at within the context of the ongoing Fantastic Four comic every month, because that brings it in. I'm really interested to find out what this whole, this whole Evolutionary War is going to end up, because the High Evolutionary doesn't seem to be getting anywhere. It's not that he's collecting things to create a device or anything like that. It doesn't seem to be. He's still exterminating subterraneans. He's trying to find out what the Silver Surfer's made of. He's trying to get rid of, very slowly, considering he was exterminating whole subterraneans, or at least sterilizing them. He seemed to be taking one mutant at a time and dealing with them, one dangerous mutant. And the Punisher dealing with drugs cartels. There doesn't seem to be an overall tie-in theme that's a good solid structure. But as an annual, as a Fantastic Four annual, I think this was great. At the end of each show, I highlight a podcast that is hopefully related to the comic I've covered. And this week, it's Fantasticast, an issue by issue history of the Fantastic Four by Stephen Lacey, he of the 20-minute long box, which I highlighted last time, and Andrew Leyland of Hey Kids Comics. Well, check them out at their website and discover the early history of the Fantastic Four. And I'll play their promo at the end of this podcast. This has been Mark's Mess vs. the Evolutionary War, episode 5 of the 12-issue podcast. All characters are property of Marvel. And thanks to Josh Woodward of joshwoodward.com for the title music. Next issue, The Amazing Spider-Man Annual 22, where you have Spider-Man, Daredevil, and a new character co-created by Steve Ditko. What can go wrong? Find out next time in Mark's Mess vs. the Evolutionary War.
The founding of a family.
You know we haven't done enough research into the effects of cosmic rays.
We've got to take that chance.
Conditions are right tonight. Let's go.
They're penetrating the ship. Our shielding isn't strong enough.
I feel like I'm burning up.
Too heavy. Can't move.
Too heavy.
We're all alive.
I feel so strange.
You're fading away. I can't see you at all anymore.
Look what's happened to you. You're... change.
Oh, Reed, not you too!
What happened to me? To all of us?
I can fly!
We gotta use that power to help mankind, right?
And so was born the Fantastic Four.
For soon the Mole Man will have the entire world in his power!
I am the mightiest living mortal on Earth, and half mankind shall feel that might.
The Fantastic Four. Little do they dream they're the pawns in the hands of Dr. Doom.
Human Torch will be the Puppet Master's next victim.
You Earthlings can't change the way I can. That means I'm the most powerful person on Earth.
I've been expecting you, for I am the Thinker.
I vow never to return, my lord, until the Fantastic Four are no more and the planet Earth is no more.
You're in the presence of the awesome Ralatots, King of Kings, Master of Men, and Lord of the Seven Suns.
Fool, you're just a muscular freak. Blind or whole.
Stop! You must not enter the castle of Diablo.
My journey has ended. This planet shall sustain him till it has been drained of all elemental life. So speak Galactus.
Flame on!
It's clobbering time!
The Fantastic Four from the very beginning. Witness the origins of a legend. The Fantasticast. FFcast.libsyn.com